At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It is the Anfield Wrap. It's Neil Atkinson. It's after Crystal Palace 0, Liverpool 7. Every now and again, people say, you're not a bit bored doing the Anfield Wrap every single week. You know, isn't it all a bit samey? I've never had a 0-7. There's never been a 0-7. This is the first 0-7 of my acquaintance. And to talk about it, I've got Paul Gorse from the Liverpool Echo, Paul Johnson and Martin Fitzgerald for the purposes of the two Pauls. Paul Johnson will be Jacko, and we can all work with that, I'm sure, as we go right the way through. But first is Paul Gorse. I mean, you know, do you get bored writing for the Liverpool Echo about this Liverpool team? I bet you don't.
No, I don't. Actually quite a lot. I stop and think, how have I been lucky enough to kind of fall into this role at a time when it's the best Liverpool team of my lifetime? It really is incredible. And there are some results and performances that you think, yeah, this is a top team. But yesterday was just kind of one where when you're tweeting out the goals and you're tweeting in the blog and all that, you don't really kind of, sounds weird, but you don't really recognise what's happening. It's only when an hour or two later you look back and think, hang on, that was 7-0. It was just an incredible performance. And even more surreal, the fact that Liverpool didn't play particularly well for about 40 minutes. They went 3-0 up and probably didn't deserve it. And then second half, they were just unbelievable, weren't they? And I think it's the biggest away win of the Premier League era. It's kind of equal with Jürgen Klopp's biggest win as Liverpool manager with Maribor and Spartak Moscow. Just an unbelievable performance at a time when I think they really needed it, to be honest. You know, after that massive win on Wednesday, that kind of took them clear and showed the rest of the league that, look, they've had the injuries, they've had the fixture list, they've had the VAR decisions, but they're still top of the pile, they're still the best team in the country, probably in the world, alongside Bayern Munich. And then yesterday just kind of hammered home that point even more. So it really was just an incredible performance, yeah.
It was one, Jacko, where you just left going, imagine being anyone else. Everyone will have done half 12 Saturday, Palace away. Could be a bit sticky. If it was me, I'd have gone, you know what? Top sides do tend to win at Palace these days. The fans aren't in. I'd have done a bit of that, but I'd have gone, well, you never know. You never know. And then you're checking your phone. I'm sure you're pottering around Manchester or you're pottering around South London or wherever you are. And this is happening. And it must have been absolutely galling.
Do you know what, Neil? Especially Tottenham went there only the week before at the same time and came away with a point, didn't you? You know what I mean? So, although we've had a really good record at Palace for the last, I think it's maybe six in a row now going away, it's still one of those games when you look on your fixture list that you think, ugh. And after Wednesday, you know, exactly the same. That was how I felt. When Bobby scores in the last minute, it's the message it sends out. Obviously, one to Tottenham, who you're playing against, and you've just gone clear of them. But to everyone else, your City, and everyone else who thinks, you know, oh, they might drop points here, Liverpool. You're then going to, as you called it, a sticky one, which I thought it would be. And that message it sends out. And I think Paul made a cracking point. If you think about the first half, you know, there was times there where Palace were on top, without doubt. And, you know, with a little bit, you know, a bit more quality in the final third, they potentially could have equalised or even gone ahead. But to go in three up, yeah, like, it was clinical. It was brilliant. And it was, imagine, as you say, it's just, you know, someone doing shopping while he can in London saying, you know, and he looked down, oh, Liverpool are three up. And it's that. And I think the way we're feeling at the moment as fans, you know, rightly so, there's a cockiness about us, and I think you've got to be like that when you're top of the league, and you know, as Paul said, one of the best teams in the world, and that arrogance when you know anyone would have looked at the phone and saw the Palace there, Liverpool 3 half time, well, that's that one done. And then again, the big one, I think you know at half time, probably Palace say, you know, let's get the next goal. That's what you would do if you're 3-0 down. We did it in Istanbul. If you're playing amateur football, you're going, let's exit next get next goal is crucial if you get it, you're back in it. And to kill it off dead within, what, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, it was just, as you say, it was the life was out of it. And then and the performance second half then, like Paul alluded to, was just phenomenal.
Martin, the second half, well, the full match really, I don't think Palace are ever actually terrible at any stage, other than possibly literally in our penalty area. That might be where they're terrible, but apart from that, it's not like there's any point where they're dreadful. I don't even think they particularly give up after either. I think they begin to really struggle for energy, having had 3 games in a week for the first time this season. But I actually think Palace do all right, which I think is testament to how well Liverpool play and how well they just respond to the situation that's in front of them over and over again.
Yeah, I think they do really well, actually. I didn't watch the game live. I had something to do in the lunchtime. So, you know, I came back and, you know, watched it knowing that we'd won 7-0. It was a kind of weird experience because for the first half, it didn't look like a 7-0 game at all. And whilst I thought Palace played well, I have to say I don't think their best players had a good game. I don't think Zaha really got a kick. I don't think Eze. There's a lot of talk about him pre-match. I don't really think he had a kick. So, but I think for 35 minutes they were definitely in it. And it's you know, tempting to say that it's the Mane goal that is crucial because it's the second goal. But I actually think Bobby's goal is the one where if you're Palace, you just look at the quality of that goal and you just think, oh, for fuck's sake, forget it. I think that, do you know what I mean? Go on.
No, I was going to come back to you on it, Martin. There's certain goals, I think, that are Jurgen Klopp, Liverpool goals. The goal that Jurgen Klopp will, you know, the one he wants to see them score. I always remember there's the Salzburg one where Alexander-Arnold finds Robertson at the near post and the whole of our bench went berserk about that. There's the Hoffenheim goal where Jurgen Klopp's down the touchline screaming, that's football. I think that the Palace one there, the third, the Firmino goal, is one of the quintessential Liverpool Jurgen Klopp goals. They're in a tight space. A brilliant bit of play gets them out. They grow, they move forward, move through the gears, and then a brilliant bit of play passes the ball into the box, and then Firmino's first touch is sumptuous and it ends up being an easy finish. I think that is one of the great Jurgen Klopp Liverpool goals.
I mean, every single part of that goal is absolutely beautiful, and there are times when, as an opposing team, when you watch something like that, that, you know, starts in our own half and appears so easy and so graceful and so straightforward that must have a mental effect on you. And I think that third goal did that. And after that, I mean, they didn't really have a chance after that. And we were just really clinical. I thought we were great. It was, and it's just, I mean, everyone played well, obviously, but there's been so much talk about Bobby this season. And I think you always worry when people start to talk about a striker in terms of, you know, what else they bring to the game other than scoring goals. I'm always a little bit concerned about that. And those two goals yesterday, I mean, that little dink in the second half. I mean, I don't care if he passes to anyone. I don't care what he does for the rest of the team. Just do that. It's great.
With the third, I mentioned the Salzburg game, Paul, and one of the things that always irritated me about that Salzburg game was it did feel as though Liverpool suddenly found it so easy, and then they lost the way a little bit. I think obviously half-time, I think, comes at the right time, and the manager would probably be able to reinforce some messages from the first half, maybe a little bit along the lines of, you're quite lucky to be in 3-0, you know, lads, but you've shown your quality at this stage. And I thought that was the difference to me from, you know, think about games like, you know, that Salzburg game could have ended up being Liverpool 8, Salzburg 0, frankly, if Liverpool had stayed at it. Here they do all stay at it, and I think it's really interesting, the idea that they themselves might have wanted to show the strength a little bit, and that they themselves would have wanted to say, no, this is where we are and what we're about.
Exactly, yeah. I think there's an element of that they knew that going in 3-0, they'd have thought if they can put together, you know, one or two decent moves, then there's more goals to be had. And the fact that Sadio Mane was fuming when he got brought off, you know, that laid bare that fact, didn't it? You know, Liverpool's forwards knew that they could have scored more. And you mentioned there about quintessential Klopp goals, and I completely agree with the Hoffenheim one that you suggested, which I think is an underrated Liverpool goal over the last few years. I think another one was Manchester City last season with Trent to Robertson and then Robertson to Salah. You know, it is that type of from back to front in the flash, isn't it? And Firmino was right up there yesterday. I thought that was probably the pick of a very good bunch. Henderson's, I think, seen someone liking that to Gerrard against Marseille all those years ago, but a little bit kind of infield. And everywhere you looked, there was something to marvel at with Liverpool yesterday. I was made up to see Oxlade-Chamberlain coming on for 15 minutes and getting his first minute of the season and actually claiming an assist as well for Salah's goal. And I thought he took his goal superbly, kind of showed everything that he was about with the poacher's header and then the sublime one at the end. And everywhere you looked, you know, there was something to be positive about. And it really was just a huge message, I think, because strangely, for some reason, you know, Paul mentions it there about Liverpool's great record against Palace. It's still kind of held up as a bit of a banana skin, and people seem to remember that draw that we all know, don't we, which was nearly 7 years ago now. And I think that's surely got to be put to bed now, and no more talk of banana skins and so on, because Liverpool just go there and win. And it's always difficult, of course, but their record now is fantastic at Selhurst Park.
It is. I think one of the things that sort of frames it, even when we're under pressure first half, Paul, is the unbelievable sense of calm that firstly comes from the goalkeeper. You know, yesterday he was clad in yellow and he was like this yellow beacon of cool all the way through, bit of a haircut in there as well. And he just seemed to me like completely unflappable. There's a couple of things that are just right down his throat because his positioning is so good. But the two lads playing centre half are also come over really calm characters. And then the certainty of Henderson all the way through the match, that little thing, that little almost diamond there between the goalkeeper to Henderson with the two centre halves either side. So much of what's so good about Liverpool stems from there, and it's a strange thing to praise in a 7-0, but that was the thing that just assured me all the way through the match. These lads, they just take a breath, you can see everything around them, they're so cool.
There did seem to be, like you said, especially second half, there was a confidence in the whole sort of that, as you say, what you mentioned about that sort of the trio of Fabinho, Matip and Henderson. And crucial through that is Henderson, and I know obviously, you know, there's been a lot said about him, his performances. I think he's one of those players who, for me, he's just unbelievable. And when you see that yesterday, Neil, it was what you've just said there about that calmness. He gets the team playing, and it's not only that, it's his communication, it's everything about him. When he's in that position, as I say, you mentioned Alisson, you know, looking cool in his yellow, etc. But okay, they got in a few times, you know, Martin said that, and if you watched the game back, you'd think, oh, you know, 3-0 flat is a half time. But after that, there was literally, I'm sat here watching it, and there was just the way they were playing, the system that was organised. And okay, Palace legs may have gone a little bit after the fourth goal, but it's just so good to watch how they play in between them. And actually, Match of the Day did a really good point on it last night, I thought, the way they were saying about how literally by Henderson dropping in all the time, it just gives Trent and Robbo that freedom to go up. And again, you know, we know that as fans who watch the game all the time, but to other people, they mightn't see that. And it's absolutely critical to how we play. And again, you just watch Henderson, you'll bark those instructions. And there was one, again, he showed on Match of the Day. I actually saw it live when he was playing. I think Naby gave the ball away on the left, and he's roaring out from the other side of the pitch. But he actually just, rather than just run, he goes in and then wins the ball back in the midfield. He's just an amazing player. And, you know, I know obviously we're going to probably do a little bit more about him maybe a little bit later on, but he's... It's just unbelievable to watch, and he's so pivotal, isn't he?
No, let's do it now. I mean, Paul, it's another terrific performance in what's a calendar year of them, arguably two calendar years of them now. The strange thing is, he appears to still be improving. I was getting around him a fair bit first half, and Henderson just works it out. Sometimes he'll go 15 yards further forward than he normally would to receive. Sometimes he'll drop a little bit deeper than he normally would to receive. And I was just really intrigued. You know, he is a footballer who's getting better. And at the age that he's at, that's very rarely said. It's not a popular viewpoint. But to me, you know, you look at any sort of block of four or five games, he's not perfect every week. It's worth saying he was on the pitch against Fulham last week. But, you know, you look at any block of performances from Henderson, and you would be saying he is growing and growing and growing even now.
Yeah, he's absolutely in the form of his career, isn't he? He's been, particularly for the last 18 months, even 2 years, he's just been fantastic. And I think the biggest thing you can say about him at the moment is, you notice him when he's not there. There's a drive and an energy and an urgency about this team that isn't there when he doesn't play. And as Paul mentions there, I thought Match of the Day did highlight, you know, some very good bit yesterday when they were pointing him out, kind of dropping in as a third centre-back, allowing Robertson or Trent to push on further, and the front three becomes a front five. And that's just the stuff he does off the ball, which goes under the radar to people who don't watch him every week. And some people don't think, still, after, 10 years of being a Liverpool player and 5 years of being a Liverpool captain, that he's not a top player simply because he's not Steven Gerrard. And that is the oldest, most tired kind of comparison and debate that you're ever going to have. I think Jordan Henderson is a Liverpool captain in his own right. And to be fair, I think there's an argument to be made that he's a better captain because, not in terms of as a player, just in terms of leader and what he does for the best players in this Liverpool team. He gets them on the front foot, he gets them playing, and he makes sure that standards across the team are always at 100%.
He does. He prompts all the time, Martin. Prompts. Now we get to hear how he prompts as he plays, because we can hear the shouting as it stands with a lot more clarity. But prompts in terms of the way in which he pings the ball into people, the little sort of the where he wants them to be, where he's telling them to be. Everything he does is about getting Liverpool going in the right direction at the right time. That's not always just forward tonight, and that's one of the things he's improved upon last sort of 18 months. He's better now at calming a game that needs calming for 5 minutes to then be able to pick it back up. But to me, he's, you know, at the minute, he'd get into any midfield in Europe.
Yeah, you know, if I look at Henderson, the way I've always seen him is that he plays base for Liverpool. He just holds down the beat and everyone else plays around him. And, you know, there's a story in the 80s about when, Pete Townsend's hearing went in the Who, and they had to turn down the bass player. And in order to replicate the range, they brought in a 70-piece orchestra. And and it sounded shit. And I think Henderson, as you can imagine, and I think Henderson's a bit like that. When he's, you know, when he's not there, you know, no one's holding down the beat like he is. That you know, urging, that, you know, pressing that you've just talked about. And, you know, for a lot of people, they want to see something sometimes a little bit more dynamic than that. But I think what he does is so essential. And when we haven't seen him this season, you've really, really missed him. And I think I would totally agree with Paul that he's just getting better and better and better. And there can't be any more debate about him anymore. I don't think there has been for a couple of years.
No, I think you know, the Sports Personality of the Year stuff will be interesting, and do vote for him tonight if you're into that kind of thing. It will be interesting to see if that one gets Liverpool's in a fun way. The Gerrard comparison, I think, is really interesting. Jacko, you and me grew up watching Gerrard. We used to talk about him a lot. And one of the things that always frustrated me about Steven was, I actually think Steven really weirdly wanted to be the sort of player Jordan Henderson currently is, where he just wanted to be a centre mid who got on with his job and he had boss players around him, whereas he was actually just the best player in the world. And he took him years to make his peace with the fact that he was the best player in the world. And that's a really interesting little thing now, if you want to do that comparison, is that Henderson's almost really weirdly the player Gerrard sort of wanted to be. Gerrard just had the problem that he was a 25 goal a season man who was incredible.
Yeah, and that's it. And, you know, like Paul said there, Neil, there was a time, and hope like Martin's just said, that's gone now. There was a time that a lot of Liverpool fans, they were just comparing him to that. When you're getting the armband pass from the legend that is Steven Gerrard and the player that he was, there will always be, obviously, you know, a burden on your back. However, what Henderson's done, like you just said there, Neil, he's come into it and he knows he's not going to maybe be that 25 goal a season man. He never was going to be, but he's done something. Potentially, you could argue more. I mean, when you hear him, I think you know, there's been loads of things where we'd all rather be at the game, of course. Would be, but you know, when you're hearing the Henderson barking out orders, is communication. Anyone who's played the game, you know how important that is, that every single player on that pitch, you know, man on left shoulder, whatever it is, the way he's done that, there's an argument that Gerrard actually wasn't very good at that. You know, he was more, you know, okay, yeah, he was a communicator, but it was more about his performance, wasn't it? He was, I'll lead by example. Henderson does both. He dictates it. Great analogy there by Martin, you know, being the bass player, fantastic. And he is that, but also he brings the communication in. And obviously, I love the shout that he's the player that Gerrard wanted to be, Neil, cracking.
I don't know where Paul, he gets the breath. That's one of the things about all the shouting. I'm like, it'd be hard enough just to be doing the running around or whatever fit you wear. It's unbelievable. He's able to like to scream across a pitch whilst running right the way across it as well. And it, a lot of this stuff can always sound basic, and it shouldn't, because as I say before, at the minute, you know, I think there's a really good comparison. Munich are, along with Liverpool, you know, the two best teams, I think, in Europe. And I think there's a lovely comparison, actually, Henderson to Goretzka. I think Goretzka's very unsung, big lad, puts himself about the pitch for Munich. You know, you could see Henderson and him being interchangeable. If you look at any Premier League midfield, he gets into it. You look at any European midfield, I'd argue he gets into it. So we shouldn't just do that. He talks a lot of stuff. We should do that. What a phenomenal footballer he is at the minute.
Yeah, no question. I think, as we say there about him doing the basics, he's always done that too. To an uber professional kind of standard, hasn't he? And then he's allowed himself to show his ability at times. I think he's got a passing range that is criminally underrated. I'm not really sure why, because he does play all kinds of passes. Okay, they don't always come off, but he's got them in his locker as and when he needs them. And I just hope. I mean, I think it has now. I think Paul made the point that you know, there's no more kind of debate over. Is he a good player or not? Because I think he's proven anyone who's doubted him wrong over the last 2 years. And it's going to be interesting to see when he finally hangs up his boots, where he stands in kind of the great Liverpool captains. Because from my, you know, life watching Liverpool, he's no question about it. He's definitely up there with the best of them.
All right, we'll move on and have a little chat about Minamino, Paul. Really pleased, Paul Gorse, that Minamino gets his goal. I think it obviously settles the full team. We haven't had much of that this season, you know, in a Tottenham sort of way. First goal, first shot goes in. It's nice. I like more of it if we can sort that out. But what I would say, though, is it's not just important that from a Liverpool point of view, but it was important for Minamino as well. And while he does still drift out of the game, that's in part because of the position and it's difficult to influence all the time from left wing. That'll really settle him, and I think it settles him in the thoughts of the manager, of his teammates, for the next sort of 6, 7, 8 weeks, when there will be a fair bit of rotation.
I hope so, yeah. It's been a difficult year for Minamino. We come in, well, it was actually a year ago yesterday, wasn't it, that his signing was confirmed. So to kind of see him getting that goal, you hope that this is the kind of lift-off moment for him. It's been a tough year. He come in, didn't speak English. I don't really think he speaks much English at the moment. I know he's been learning it, but Liverpool kind of went out of the way to integrate him into the team by putting his locker or his hanger in between Mane and Keita, so he had that kind of Salzburg experience, and you know that they could speak to him, communicate with him a little bit better. And then there was the lockdown period where he was living alone and he was training from home on his own for 2 or 3 months. That must have been difficult for him. So he's kind of really had obstacles thrown in his path, you know, on route to kind of establishing himself as a Liverpool player, which is difficult enough given the front players who were ahead of them in the pecking order. So I just hope that yesterday was a big kind of catalyst for him to kick on and really show what he can do, you know, going forward for the end of the season.
It's a lovely touch and finish, Martin, and Liverpool's finishing this season. Henderson mentions it afterwards. He says it's something we've been thinking about. One of the things I think they do well all game is just create an extra yard for themselves. Just one more space, make that chance that bit easier. And he sets that tone. It is an unbelievable touch to send Klein to find himself with the space, and it almost sets up the drilled finish.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful goal, actually. And I think what's good about it is just the continued momentum that it gives the side, because, you know, we scored in the 89th minute on Wednesday, we scored in the third minute here, so it's 2 goals in 4 minutes, right? And yep. you're the half 12 kickoff, and, you know, I made the point on the weekend that, you know, you should look at that as an opportunity. You should look at that as an opportunity to go 6 points clear. And I think that the fact that we start that on the third minute is just fantastic, and I'm made up for him because he's had a really tough season. And I think the important thing about this side, particularly compared to maybe previous Liverpool teams, is that there's room for everyone to contribute. You know, I don't know what this means for his future, whether it's going to be the start of a new dawn for him, who knows? But he got his goal yesterday. And in the way that last season, people like Chamberlain can, you know, look at the fixtures and you know, genuinely say, those 3 points are mine because I got that winner. That's the important thing about this side, that everyone contributes to a degree. And he got his contribution yesterday, so good for him.
He also, two things really, Paul. First is, he showed he's on a wavelength, I think it's fair to say, and I think that that's been the tricky part for him, and I think it doesn't help when you're coming in and you're playing with not quite a shadow team, but a team that's not filled with the sort of the regular participants, and I think he showed he's on a wavelength. I think the other thing, and I think it goes for all of them, I think it goes for Firmino, I think it goes for Mane, I think it goes for Salah, is goals matter to them. And I think that we can do the, well, everyone will get to contribute thing, and everyone will, you know, everyone does a little bit here and there, but part of, you know, Firmino was absolutely buzzing, and now he's got 3 goals in 2 games, and it feels like for all of them, you know, they get to feel like they contribute in the most straightforward way. I play in the final third, I've kicked it in the goal, and that can sound unbelievably reductive, but that's what attackers want, and then they feel like better footballers, and then they're all able to work together better.
Definitely, and you know, Mane's reaction to getting subbed was clear, wasn't it? You know, I'm hopeful that no one makes a big deal of that, because it isn't. And Match of the Day again did it very, like, tongue-in-cheek. They were laughing at it, really, because Bobby was sitting there buzzing with his big smile on his face, and Sadio looked like, you know, he'd had the worst day of his life. But when you've got a mentality like those, you know, hopefully as well, Minamino as well, Matt Sadio would have been sitting there going, I could have had a hat-trick there, and you've taken me off. And that's why we're where we are now. Simple as that. And, you know, a lot of people go on about our mentality. When you've got a front four, add Jotun into that as well, obviously, when he's back, he plays like that. And sometimes, you know, that might come where people might think, oh, there's an easier option on, and maybe he could have squared the ball. And I get that. I do get that sometimes. But yesterday showed, when we are clinical, which we were, all those players want to score goals. Like Martin and you've just said there, it's massively going to help Minamino now. I think, as you say, it's his contribution. He wants to score goals. You know, when we saw him at that that day when he played at Anfield, and we were like, this lad's great. He can score. He can pass. Hopefully now that's like a catalyst for him to improve from there. And again, when you think about a front three, you know, they're looking at the chart as well, aren't they, to see, you know, who's top scored in the league. And they all want to, you know, get to that point. And there's that selfishness that you need as an attacking player that I think we've got. And hopefully now Minamino can kick on from his performance yesterday.
There's a couple of things, Paul, that I think, you know, this Mane thing comes close to Salah's interview in AS in Spain, where we underestimate, I think, firstly, the achievements that the manager's made and the ongoing task that is managing these four forwards, if you include Jota. You know, that anywhere else in the world, if this was at Real Madrid, you know, I get the impression they'd be all on the verge of killing each other. And that hasn't happened at Liverpool because of the environment and all of that. But we can just sort of casually go, well, it's because of the environment and all of that. But actually, this is day-to-day management of individual goals in a framework that is team achievement by a football manager who's done so absolutely brilliantly. And because it's very rarely an issue, Burnley away last year is one example, because it's very rarely an issue, we actually don't talk about it. Part of management is what Jurgen Klopp's done with these forwards.
Yeah, no question. I think that's why Klopp is kind of revered as he is. You know, if you look across some of the big personalities in management across, you know, however long you want to go back, they have that reputation because they're able to manage massive personalities. You know, Alex Ferguson did it for 20 years with some of the biggest names in British football. Klopp is doing it now. Guardiola's no doubt done that when he was managing Barcelona. He's doing it now at Manchester City. It is kind of how you keep these elite professionals who are probably never happy. And that is testament to Klopp's ability as a coach, as a manager, all kind of rolled into one package. Okay, Mane wasn't happy when his number went up yesterday, but why would he be? He hadn't even played an hour, and he could tell that there was goals to be had. And he knows that he's, before the game, he was, what, 6 or 7 behind Salah in the Golden Boot stakes, and he wants to be the main man, you know, as Salah does. Salah said in that interview with AS that he wants to break all the records, and he was very matter of fact about the fact that he believes himself to be one of the best players in the world. And that's the kind of mentality you want from your top men. So I've got no issue with Mane having a bit of a grumble when he comes off.
You can't have any issue with it, Martin, really. As I say, it's more that it's intriguing to me that we don't get to see what must be, you know, in part ongoing a little bit. And it's absolutely fine that it's ongoing because you want to have the very best players. And if you've got the very best forwards will all want to end the season as top scorer. And normally, only really one can. That's the way in which it goes. But obviously the team only succeeds if they're all able to net on a regular basis. And it is just quite something. And as I say, it's something that maybe we just take for granted sometimes. It's a lot easier to play 4-2-3-1 and your one is the fella who gets 35 goals. Liverpool actually won three footballers, all contributing somewhere in the vicinity of 3 or 4 times 35.
Yeah, look, if you look at that situation, it's, you know, one of those where you can understand everyone's point of view. I understand why Klopp took him off. It's a long season. He wants to rest him. I understand Mane's point of view. He hasn't scored in 9 games. Scores yesterday, misses a chance just before he gets taken off, and he probably thinks there's more goals for him. But it's just one of them. You just have to move on. I mean, you know, I'll tell you, he wasn't unhappy when he got taken off. Gini Wijnaldum, he was, thank fuck for that. you know, I can finally get a 20-minute winter break. Thanks, Jürgen. And I think you have to look at it as a whole. There are some people that have been run into the ground. There are some people who you have to manage more with a little bit more nuance. And I'm sure Klopp's thinking is that, you know, he's going to come back hungry after that, you know, Mane.
Oh, you'd start now against West Brom, 100%. Aren't you?
I mean, hat-trick. I'd be going down the bookies straight away.
All right. Just very, very quick, in amongst all of this, if you haven't subscribed to the Anfield Wrap yet, off the back of a 7-0 win against Palace, well, first and foremost, I'll be questioning your decision-making. There was a last-minute winner against Tottenham as well, to be honest with you. That was good. It is theanfieldwrap.com/subscribe to do that. Audio and video, been loads of little video treats through December. If you download the app, you get some tokens and you can have a look at them in amongst that as well. And we're going to try and get some extra tokens to people for Christmas. So now's a great time to download the app. But to subscribe, it is theanfieldwrap.com/subscribe for that, so do consider it. Jacko, one of the really interesting things is Mo Salah now finds himself with 13 goals and 13 league appearances, 16 over the course of the season. He's top scorer in the country by 2 goals, which I was stunned to discover this morning when I was just checking to do a bit of prep for this show, because I'm absolutely convinced Son scored 43 by this stage of proceedings. But it is, again, like, this is the standard that he sets himself, and I think you can grow complacent about that. This is one of the great forwards in world football, one of the truly great forwards. He is going at 1-1 over the course of this season. He gets 2 yesterday, and I just don't see what stops him.
Do you know what? I mean, obviously, you mentioned in the agenda about the AS interview, and I think what we've got to remember as obviously as all local lads or whatever, you know, our dream would be to play for Liverpool and stay there for your life. You know, Trent will hopefully do that, etc. But these are the players who obviously, you know, are born in other countries, and that, and Barcelona and Madrid will always have that pull, won't they? And when, you know, he gives that interview and that, and people start to get worried, let's just put that aside, because at the end of the day, he's been asked a question, he's responded to it. I don't think we should be panicking over that. We've got to look at what he's doing now and what he's done for us and what he'll continue to do for us, Neil, because as you just said,
he wants to break all the records.
Exactly. You know what I mean? He literally, I think there's times where, oh, I don't want to say that we take him for granted, because I don't think we do. I think we you know, we love our front three, and, you know, add in Jota and Minamino whoever to that. But I think sometimes you just have to take a step back and actually look at Neil at his goal return and what he's doing for you, because there is almost like, when he then doesn't do it, it's almost like, come on, Mo, hang on, lads, give the fella a break here. This fella has been phenomenal and he's continuing to be phenomenal for us, and his record speaks that. And I don't mean to say it anyway that we take him for granted. I just sometimes think that there is an element of, you know, there's an expectancy around the front three to, you know, Mane to be scoring this, etc. And he'll always have that little blip. It's just, his goal return is unbelievable. And, you know, yesterday when he comes on, for all, you know, obviously Sadio was fuming, going off, etc., you know, Mo comes on there thinking, I tell you what, I've got a hat-trick here in 25 minutes. And you know, he, on another day, he nearly does, you know what I mean? And I think that's where we spoke about mentality. It's just unreal from him. And, you know, as long as he's saying that he wants to break all those records, he's fine with me. And hopefully he'll continue to do so. And I think he will.
Well, I mean, Paul, Ian Rush's record, presumably of top flight league goals or all time for Liverpool, I would suggest is just about out of reach for Mo Salah. I don't want to get carried away. I know Mo's not listening. Because if you know, by all means, have a go, Mo. If you want to take a run at Rushie, have a go. But Premier League goals, and I know we don't like that sort of that cut off point for a variety of reasons. But the Premier League top scorer for Liverpool's Robbie Fowler with 128, and Salah now is on 86. And if you want to talk about all the records in terms of his own personal achievements, well, there's one that's absolutely on the line for him there, isn't it? You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's got that sorted out by the end of next season.
No, I wouldn't see that. I find it incredible that, as you mentioned earlier, he's scored 16 now, and you're thinking, I was just as surprised as you when I was writing it in my analysis piece yesterday to find that he was too clear of Son and Calvert-Lewin. But I think the Ashton at Leeds is obviously taken us all by surprise, isn't it? Or, you know, we've forgotten about it because that was the very first game and he's already up to three after the first game. But, yeah, he's an incredible footballer. And when he moves on, you're looking and you're thinking he'll be above, you know, so many of the great Liverpool forwards in history. Just an absolute world superstar. And he's got that reputation off the pitch as well. I think if you look across the Liverpool squad, the world-class players, aren't they? But none of them have kind of got that world aura about them. I think maybe Van Dijk is starting to emerge as that, but I think Salah is an icon off the pitch, isn't he, just as much as he is on it? And he kind of carries himself in that way as well. He's just such a top footballer. And yeah, I agree with you. I think that record of Fowler there is definitely within his sights when he says he wants to break all the records going forward. He's definitely got a chance. I think at this stage of the season, he's got more than his first season at Liverpool when he ended up with 44. So if Liverpool stay in the competitions, then he's got a great chance of getting near that, would you believe, which is an incredible return, which probably once in a season career that he's looking like he could even repeat.
Martin, I mean, as I say, he might have to play till he's 42 to get near Rushie. But that's all right. I mean, I like a man who's got some spirit about him and he's got some pep and he's prepared to have a go at that. In general, it's the other thing to point out with him as well, and the manager's managed him a bit recently. We got to see him be grumpy when he gets taken off against Brighton. The other thing that he offers is just constant attendance. His fitness is unbelievable. His fitness in every sense is now unbelievable. There are so few injuries for Mo Salah that we all still remember, obviously the one in the Champions League final. He's not quite an ever-present, but it's incredible to think of the sort of footballer he is, that he isn't far away from being an ever-present.
Yeah, and if you know, Henderson is the bass player, then, you know, Salah's very much the lead guitarist for this side. That he's just an incredible footballer. It's sort of fascinating to me that when he talks about his ambition, he talks about wanting to kind of break the records. You do get a sense with him more than anyone else that this is an individual game. That, you know, rather than talking about he wants to win this and he wants to win that, he wants to break records. He really seems to judge himself individually, you know, against everyone else. And I don't think, I don't have a problem with that at all, because I think so many of the goals that he scores for Liverpool and so many of the chances that, you know, he goes on to create are as a result of him being single-minded, and that's what you want from one of your forwards.
Martin, Naby Keita gets himself 90, as you mentioned before. Gini Wijnaldum gets to go off, so I suspect he'll have been made up to see Naby Keita. What he does ever so well, and I think he grows into the game, and I think that by the time, you know, obviously you could say anyone can play smoothly at 4-0, but I think he grows into it as it wears on. But what he has all the way through the match is just lovely, quick passing, which is perfect against a side like Palace, who set up the way in which Palace do. He's important for the second goal in amongst everything that's going on there. I think it's... If Liverpool can just get a run of games out of him, and that will always be the question now, but if Liverpool can just get a run of games out of him, they've got such a player on the hands.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's such a shame with him that we've never seen him really play, you know, 15 games on the spin, because you do see glimpses with him where you think he's got something in that midfield that you know, we don't have. He does look... I remember when we first signed him, I think it was you, Neil, said that you were excited by the comparison to Gascoigne. And he does have that bit about him where he just picks it up and he's just gone. You sort of talk about contributions. If it wasn't for him being injured, you wouldn't have seen the emergence of Jones. And it's that thing again that, you know, Jones gets to sit it out yesterday. You know, Nabs comes in. He has a great game. You just look forward to the next game because you just can't wait to see who's going to play and what they're going to do. But you just hope for him personally, he just gets a run to show everyone how good he is.
It's interesting he doesn't, Jacko, get off the bench against Tottenham. And the manager talks afterwards, I think, a little bit about rhythm. He makes those sorts of noises. I think the manager will be, you know, of all the performances yesterday and all the outcomes, I think he'll be absolutely delighted with Roberto Firmino, but it wouldn't surprise me if his number two on the list was actually Naby Keita. Mm-hmm. I think the idea of being able to just have him be in and amongst the midfield conversation, as Martin says, you know, who starts against West Brom? Well, it could be Jones, it could be Keita, we'll wait and see. Somebody else might be in and around. At some point, there'll be Thiago. But I think for us to keep our intensity up, for us to be able to play the way we want to be able to play, the idea of picking three from six of these lads is absolutely massive, and that's what he'll want from Keita, to feel like he's just in amongst that conversation.
Definitely. And I also think, Neil, is, you know, it sometimes coming on in a game for someone like Naby, who, as we've all known, he has picked up injuries, unfortunately, which has obviously kind of not been allowed his Liverpool career to go as we probably all wanted to, and him. I think sometimes coming on in a game can be difficult. You know, you're getting up to the speed of the game. So to start a game, maybe in Klopp's mind, obviously, you know, as Wednesday transpired, you know, Klopp would have been thinking, you know, I don't want to make a change, etc. And he didn't. But I think sometimes starting a game, you can almost get into the tempo of it quicker, etc. And I think he did that yesterday. But as you said, to have him and others, you know, Oxlade-Chamberlain being back, I think was great to see. You've got Curtis Jones, who had his rest, Gini Hendo. To have these choice of players in this period where, you know, let all the teams, I think, might start, you know, thinking now, oh, we've got a tough run here, and they might pick up a few injuries, and potentially, you know, touch wood, we might have, you know, could have got to the back of ours. And if we can just start seeing these players coming back in and getting a run of games, like you've said, it's going to absolutely benefit the squad. It's going to, you know, hopefully going to push on. You know, we've got that little bit of buffer now with that. We've got over some teams. And to have Naby and other players like him available. And also, as you say, just to be able to go, you know, I'm up for selection this week. I've not got a pull, I've not got a tweak, etc. It's going to have a massive impact on us, and it's only a positive thing.
It's, for me, there's an interesting little bit of horses for courses with a couple of them, Paul, where I wonder if, you know, for instance, the thing that a lot of us would do would say, well, Palace, there's a lot of big, strong lads in there. They'll look to wallop you around. I'd rather have James Milner than Naby Keita. But there ends up being a bit of an argument of, well, they actually can move the ball really quickly in tight spaces and do it a little bit differently and get around people like that. And that's not to say that there isn't room for absolutely all of them. You mentioned Chamberlain being back as well. His direct run, I think, is really important to this side. The manager, I think, will want to feel like he can manage. Like, I'm not just picking these three midfielders because they're the only three midfielders I can pick. I'm picking these three midfielders because they'll solve this problem that this team will offer. Then in 4 days' time, you've got to solve this problem that this team will offer. 5 days after that, it's Southampton. These lads are going to solve that one. And I can map my way through that. And I think that's something that we're going to start to see now.
Yeah, definitely. I think if you look at Liverpool, I mean, it's been a long time since they've been able to boast it. But if you look at Liverpool, when everyone in the squad is fit, you haven't got many selection issues, have you? You've got, does Jota come in for Firmino maybe, or does Matip or Gomez who makes the cut from there? But everyone else has kind of nailed down a position, haven't they? Except for who are your midfield three? It can be any one of them. I think Liverpool have got maybe seven or eight that they can choose from when everyone's fit and available. They've all got different qualities, and as you say, horses, of course, is the perfect phrase for it. So it's, does James Milner come in when a bit more solidity is needed? A team's going to sit back and get men behind the ball. Is that a game for Keita? Is it a game for Thiago? I think Liverpool have got a perfect blend of midfield qualities in there when everyone's fit and available to choose from. So getting them back in dribs and drabs will be great for Klopp. And it really was good to see Keita getting the full game yesterday. It's been a bit of a groundhog day Liverpool career for him, hasn't it? He kind of builds up a head of steam, picks up an injury, he's out for a few weeks, comes back in, tries to build up rhythm, eventually does get injured again, and then the cycle kind of repeats. And it's happened to him a few times last season. I think he was in great form around this time, and then he got injured in the warm-up against Sheffield United, was before Christmas? Or just after Christmas? And then again last season, at the end of it, he was in great form, and then he had the unfortunate timing of the season coming to an end, and then he hasn't been able to build up any rhythm this season. So hopefully yesterday was a massive step in the right direction for him.
This week, Martin becomes a breather of sorts. One of the nearest things this Liverpool side's had altogether is a breather. It could well be that that penalty shootout defeat against Arsenal is the best one in the club's history. I am relieved, not that we haven't got EFL Cup games this week, frankly. I know you should want to win every trophy, but sort of looking at that this week, it doesn't look great. But the other part of this as well is that another week could see another two or three back.
I mean, can you imagine if we had a game in the League Cup? I can't even comprehend that. I don't know what the other teams are doing. even when that was, when you saw that in whenever it was October, and you thought there's this
August, so September, September, it was the very start.
There's a League Cup game on Christmas Eve or something, and you're like, well, that's a long way away. We'll work it out. But I mean, now you're here, you're like, could you imagine that? Fuck that. So yeah, it's I think it's better than winning it. I think not. I think, you know, add it to the honours list. You know, not playing it this week is, they should have a special shirt against West Brom where there's a,
it's commemorated.
There's a little star that they didn't have to play a League Cup round on Christmas. What are we talking about? Yeah, we've got to get a vest. We're going to get a good break, which is good. And West Brom at home, Allardyce. I mean, you've got to fancy that. And I think this part of the season, it's just all about momentum now. And I think we just got to boil the others off and just go on a bit of a run. We seem to have not had any adversity for a while. I mean, fucking it. I mean, look, somehow we scored 7 goals yesterday without that cunt in Stockley Park getting involved in any of them, which is absolutely unbelievable.
Maybe that's the way we've decided to attack now, Martin. We're going to take him off the equation.
I'm convinced he called in sick. And the message never got something. How's that happened? So I think we had a perfect storm of sort of bad luck, injuries, VARs, and we're not having that, and we're getting last-minute winners, and we're beating Team 7-0 away from home. Yeah, West Brom up next, Newcastle. You've got to be looking to create a bit of a gap, I think.
You look at the league table this morning, Paul, and it's 5 points to Everton, and then it's, you know, you move from there. It's 6 to Spurs, 7 to Leicester. Spurs and Leicester play each other, so someone has to get points. That's the way it works, unfortunately. City now back on 23 with the game in hand. United 2 games in hand. They've got Leeds today, so that people might be listening to this after that game's happened. And it is worth saying that if United did win both of their games in hand, they would actually move into second place in the table. But the gap is a very, very valid point from Martin. You know, you do look at the way the fixtures have fallen, and for Liverpool now, weirdly, you know, the run is almost kinder than it was in October and November if you discount the international breaks. And this is an opportunity, isn't it, now to build up that head of steam?
I mean, you know, and there's some people always say, don't, there's no easy game in the Premiership, and you know, and I know it's where to get either is, but like Martin just said there, you're looking at, you know, your next few games, you're thinking. I often think as well, like, about the, you know, the other team's mentality, and Paul, you said earlier about, you know, us watching the greatest team that in our generation and possibly in our lifetime, and it is. I can remember the 80s because I was only a young lad, but I still look back and I still think, you know, this team now, they're just unbelievable. I wanted to get to a point where we were champions. And where we used, you know, where other teams, I remember in the 90s when United were winning everything, and I'd look at a lineup and I'd say, you're beating before, you're playing them there, you know, you're going to Old Trafford and you're beating, you don't even try. And it was because teams would think, you know, bigger picture, right? Okay, we're going to write one, that one off. We're going to lose our Old Trafford because they're that good. So we're going to focus on our next game because we're playing, you know, a relegation fodder at home and we might be involved in that. And that's us now. And I still can't believe it. I look at it. And so I, although, you know, as Liverpool fans, we should be confident that we're going to, you know, take Western under the cleaners and win at Newcastle. But I also think, how do they approach the game? Because I think there's an element now where they're thinking, oh, we've got Liverpool here. Well, you know, well, let's try and get through that with a 3-0 defeat. And that's just brilliant to have at this point, Neil. And like Rorten said, you know, and you said then, it's a great opportunity for us just to say, send a message out. I think we sent a message out against Tottenham. We sent a massive message out yesterday against Crystal Palace. This is another time now. You know what? Other people are looking and thinking, who've Liverpool got the weekend? Oh, West Brom at home. Yeah, nice one. And that's what we should do. We should literally go, you know, let's take these, the cleaners. And noticeably as well, you know, the goal difference suddenly now have just gone, you know, from yesterday. So all of the things, all loads of positives and a great opportunity for us to just stamp it. Because you could potentially, you know, be, after this Christmas period, be what, 8-9 points clear of your nearest rivals, etc. And that'll be massive because everyone will be looking at last season thinking, these aren't going to drop the points. You know what I mean?
Paul Gorst on that, I think there is a thing, isn't there, where, you know, you mentioned West Brom and yes, Allardyce will be there and there'll be the idea of a bit of bounce, but there'll also be Allardyce won't want to go in and get whacked 5-0 first game. And when you put seven past the team, you send that certain message. And then the next phase of this as well is we will see the impact of these games intensifying. We see it on Palace. You know, it is their third game in a week. We've been doing that all the way through. And so, you know, four or five other sides in the Premier League as well. It is worth remembering that. But that's where all of a sudden there, when you are beginning to say, well, you know, if it's not one game a week, if it feels like three games in 6 days, you are picking which one you make the biggest rests for, the biggest changes for. You deliberately weaken yourself. And that should work in Liverpool's favour as well.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you do that in any kind of Christmas period, don't you? The fixtures stack up, even in the most sparsely kind of organised seasons. But this one is just more congested than ever. So there will be an element of that. And Klopp made the point a few weeks back that if you think I'm moaning about injuries left and right, then just wait till the rest of these teams are playing three games a week, and then you're going to see more managers have a little moan about it themselves because they're going to fall away like the way my players have, and you will see that. And Liverpool have to kind of put their foot on the necks of the rest of the division while they're going strong. Paul mentioned there about Liverpool's home form. It's, what is it, 66 games now? It's April 2017, which is just incredible when you think they've gone all that time unbeaten at home in the Premier League. It was actually my niece's, the day she was born was the last time they got beaten in the Premier League, and I seen her the other night, and she's, you know, a full on infant.
She's got a job.
She's out in school in September. She's just done her options. It's just a remarkable the fact that they've gone so long without losing a game at home. And I think Chelsea's record was 80 odd, was it? That Liverpool finally ended with Xabi Alonso's goal. And That has to be kind of, they've got to be looking at that now, haven't they, and thinking, let's
put it on Mo Salah's list, Paul. You have a word with him. Put it on your list, Mo.
Yeah, well, he's looking to break it all, and that'll be part of his collection. I just think Liverpool now, while they're in a good state and one or two are coming back, they've really got to kind of put the foot down and take it away from the rest of the league over the next few weeks.
Absolutely. We will see if that emerges. Thank you very much, Martin Fitzgerald. A very short notice jumped in for us. Paul Gorst and Paul Johnson for the Anfield Wrap this week. Absolutely everything you need right the way through. It is our last one of these before Christmas, but there will be a weekend which I'm doing for you on Wednesday. That'll be coming out in case you missed that in the excitement of it all. Whatever way you go about the business at this time of year, we don't all do it the same way, and it is worth emphasising that. Try to make it as good for yourself as you can under the circumstances. It's been an absolute pleasure all the way through the year, but you know what, our years don't run January to December. Our years run August or September through to May, and the one thing you can take from the last 4 or 5 days is Liverpool will have a lot of things to be very, very interested in May.
Sports Social Podcast Network.